willing to go to the warmer weather places. And
yeah, I oh, for sure, teams will want to go there. And Notre Dame didn't, though. It wasn't warm enough for Notre Dame.
Notre Dame was in their field.
But the Pop-Tarts Bowl, they've got a storyline. Like, yeah, like, so you saw Strawberry. Where we don't know where, I don't know if we know where Strawberry ended up.
Strawberry protein.
So, yeah, but the jumping off and
he was not
going to
go
away.
Out like that.
Yeah. So we've got some intrigue already going into next year. And like, also the idea, even, like, does Notre Dame ever show up at a Pop-Tarts Bowl? Like, do they get an invite? Do you not invite them again?
Is Notre Dame going to put sprinkles on their helmet?
Will they put sprinkles on their helmet? I mean, that is, like, they
there's a school that feels like they're not going to do that.
Right, it does. I agree with you. I feel like
their helmet is sacred.
But what the Pop-Tarts Bowl does is, like, you've got to, I don't know, like, it feels like they're going to have a lot of people trying, like, we talked about the Grinch meal at McDonald's and, like, everything's for TikTok and that just because the Grimace shake works doesn't mean everything else is going to work.
Right.
But that does mean some other stuff will work. So it could work in a different way, but does it have to be branded like a celebrity like Snoop sponsoring a bowl? It does set itself apart.
We've done a couple. I'm not sure, like, the celebrity thing works. I think it has to be a nostalgia brand. I think part of the reason why Pop-Tarts works is we all ate them growing up. And even if, like, you're not eating Pop-Tarts in your 30s and your 40s, like, you kind of have a fondness for it.
Maybe. Like, one thing I'm interested in that's happening tonight on Netflix is the Stranger Things Raw. Like, somehow they've been promoting Raw tied into Stranger Things.
Yeah, I've
like,
seen the graphics.
There's going to be some type of Stranger Things, like, theme to it. Like, are they going to do, like, the Pop-Tarts Bowl is? Where it's, like, there's a lot of the branding around it. And, like, maybe it's set up in that way. Like, I could see, like, a television show or even streaming service sponsor a bowl game and, like, take it over in that type of way, like a bowl game that was looking like Stranger Things, right? Where that is a way you could do
it. It's kind of interesting that Netflix hasn't gotten into it yet, but I guess they view it as, like,
because a dying breed in a way that needs to be reinvented. But we say in a way, like, the ratings are good, but, like,
is, like, Netflix is,
like, seriously, is anybody going to subscribe to Netflix to watch the Birmingham Bowl, Jeffrey?
I think the real question is, does Netflix maybe have their eyes on something bigger? Like, in the end, like, their end goals, like, yeah, either the
maybe
or the playoff or
and who knows what YouTube, we haven't really talked about, you know, YouTube's got the Oscars now,
yep,
coming up in 5 more years, but, like, YouTube's big signal of, hey, we know they've already got, you know, their deal with the NFL recently, and now this, like, they are serious about getting into the live event business and the legacy live event stuff. And that is what's helping keep these networks and these traditional media brands not afloat, but, like, keeping them very relevant is having these legacy live events. And yeah, so YouTube's involvement, it's going to be interesting. But I think there's some ways. I do think, like, more of a is there a Harry, like they're doing with the Disney,
yeah,
like takeover, so you get the Monster Inc. game,
yeah.
Like, is it more of a takeover for bowl games in that type of way? We have not seen that for a bowl game.
Well, the problem is a lot of those games are expensive. And so it's like, do they want to waste the money on that when it's like, well, we just know if we just throw a game on.
And I'm not necessarily saying that they have to, like, put the AI version of the character on top of
no,
the
I,
people
I, but
doing
you're saying
it.
Is the cross-marketing.
Well, like, do a way where you're transforming the stadium looks like you're inside of something and you can use screens and on graphics and things like that to try to get... Yeah, the Harry Potter fan to watch before the new Harry Potter show comes out on HBO. Like, is you doing a Harry Potter Bowl or something? I don't know.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we've had a news that Buc-ee's and their foray into the Mid-South has been delayed. We'll talk about that. Also, NFL Black Monday. We'll talk about all that on the list next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurd of Grind City Media is going to join us during the next segment. Before we welcome him to the program, let's get into the list. Buc-ee's. Yeah, from Sophia Surratt over at the Daily Memphian. Gas station giant Buc-ee's is delaying the opening of its planned locations in West Memphis and Fayette County. The Texas-based gas station chain, founded in 1982, will delay its West Memphis location until 2028 and its Fayette County location until 2027. Both were slated to open this year in 2026. According to Sophia, Buc-ee's would not comment further. So, I had mentioned to you there were a couple of pieces of news that were at least news to me. I had been sniffing around the Fayette county location. I think it was going to be somewhere around like exit 24, 25, somewhere in that area.
Yeah.
And
it was a groundbreaking, I believe, for that one already.
Yeah, I kept hearing delays. What was news to me was I did not know that there was delays in West Memphis. I thought the West Memphis one was going to open
on
this
time.
Year.
Yeah, both and were now, scheduled to open, yeah.
And now the West Memphis one's scheduled to open after the Fayette County location.
Right, yes. So now we thought we were getting Buc-ee's this year. We're still getting Buc-ee's. Still getting two very close Buc-ee's coming up. I'm a new fan of Buc-ee's, right? I just became a fan.
When was your first experience?
In 2025. In the fall of 2025, going to and from on a road trip to Florida, to there and on the way back, because I'm a very...
the Alabama location?
I went to two different ones. One was Auburn. I can't remember the other one. So there's the Auburn.
The one that's kind of like around Mobile? Was it further south?
No, there was some other... I'll have to try to figure out which one it was. But it was two different ones. But what got me, and people who go there and say, oh, I'll never go there, it's too crowded. But I know people say that, and I believe them. But I did buy stuff at one of them. Like, there was no wait. But the best thing about it is the clean bathrooms. I have to have a clean bathroom. And to know that there's a reliable place to go, that the bathroom is going to be clean, and I'm going to be able to get in to the bathroom, and it's going to be clean. It's going to be fantastic. So I love that Buc-ee's has the clean bathrooms. I think that's a standard that predates our lifetime, Jeffrey, but was a big deal at different stages since the invention of the car was gas station having clean bathrooms. And so, yeah, I love Buc-ee's for their clean bathrooms. It makes me I like the idea they have all the other options, and they obviously have a lot of pumps so you can find somewhere to get gas. But it made me think, like, Buc-ee's is coming. We've had so many great brands come to Memphis over the past 5-plus years, from IKEA to Whataburger to Raising Cane's now, Buc-ee's, like these iconic brands that have kind of cult followings. But I was like, is Buc-ee's even going to be one I'm going to use when it's here, or is it only going to be one that I'm going to use because I know it's a great place with a clean bathroom, I could grab a bite to eat and get back on the road? Or is it something I'm going to use when I'm in Memphis? I know I'm going to visit at least once to the West Memphis and the Fayette County one, but
it's definitely
likely?
It is definitely a road trip thing. With that said, though, if you have kids, I still think it can be like a like an actual destination.
Your daughter loves Buc-ee.
My daughter loves Buc-ee. She even has a road Buc-ee that she takes with her when she goes on the road. She has her Buc-ee that sleeps with her.
Buc-ee sleeps with her. Oh wow. Okay.
Oh yeah. Oh, she's
so Buc-ee's
in the crib.
It's on the top tier.
Yeah. Someone had an inflatable in the neighborhood of Buc-ee's, and
she always
loves to go around that.
Buc-ee's like bluey to her. Yeah.
The bathrooms, she's kind of off. She's now big on Gabby's dollhouse.
Yeah.
Gabby's fine, but Bluey's way better.
Oh, Bluey's. Bluey's a show that...
way better.
Parents and kids alike, they love it. But there's nothing like Bluey.
The bathrooms are nice. I've just been in other truck stops that have nice bathrooms. So the bathrooms...
Truck stops? Oh, come on, Jeffrey. I think we just have different standards of clean bathrooms.
There's a lot of pilots...
The stall doors go all the way down and stuff. There's like this level of privacy. They're fully stocked with soap and paper towels and everything that you need. Like, how many times you're going to these bathrooms
and I guess
they're understocked or there's something. Like, we're men. We know, and the ladies out there listening may not realize this, but if you go to a men's room, you're walking in there, and there is pee all over the floor.
Right, I guess
but not at a Buc-ee's.
I have seen truck stops. Like, Pilots. Like,
any men's bathroom anywhere, almost.
Like, I've seen truck stop bathrooms that are nice.
Pilots are pretty good. Raceway is pretty good, too.
Right. Nothing like Buc-ee's.
When everyone was trying to sell me on the bathrooms at Buc-ee's, I left going, it was fine. Like, they were clean bathrooms.
So somebody, they overhyped the bathroom. I think they are...
What
I think
is
it was
impressive
a reliable
about-
clean... Like, you could go to these other places that Jeffrey just mentioned and have a bad experience.
Yes.
Yes, I have only been to Buc-ee's two times.
Buc-ee's
now,
has a much higher batting
average. Their reputation
like,
for clean
there's
bathrooms.
There's no question. Like, if you find a Buc-ee's with bad bathrooms, like, that Buc-ee's will probably be shut down.
There's something
but
wrong.
What was always more impressive to me was the operation itself. As someone who grew up in retail and, more importantly, retail packaged foods... The fact that I could go up and down the aisles and not find a single item out of place was mind-blowing to me. Like, these things aren't quite as big as, like, Walmart Supercenters, But before we had super centers, these things are like Walmarts. And you cannot go into, as someone who is a defender of Walmart, cannot go into Walmart and find everything where it is. Like, part of it is a treasure hunt.
Jeffrey, I went to Walmart again, right? Remember last week I told the story how I saw Penny Hardaway there on Christmas Eve buying people's stuff at Walmart. I did see another celebrity sighting at Walmart this week. It was when I was there. Not really celebrity sighting, but like only a Memphis type of sighting.
Yep.
The National Guard was there at Walmart this time. Saw the National Guard. So last week was Penny Hardaway and the Grinch. This week saw the National Guard. But oh my goodness, we went back to the toy section.
Oh yeah.
Disaster. This is 2 days ago.
Yes.
So this is way past Christmas. But the game section was a complete, it was like,
disaster.
It was an utter disaster. It would look like a tornado had hit every game. Nothing was where it was supposed to be. But no, Bucky's organization is great. The people were like, it's too crowded. There were people there, but it wasn't like you were shoulder to shoulder with any. I mean, it was very crowded, but
I mean,
there was a lot of stuff to do. You could go to the bathroom. You could go to get your drinks. You could go shop for some clothing items.
Go get a brisket taco. Go get a brisket sandwich.
Go over to this food area, that food area.
Check out the homemade beef jerky.
Right. So
with all the flavors.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are people who love Bucky's, the people who do hate it. And for whatever reason, I think they're just kind of going against it.
This is the ultimate testament, though, to Bucky's.
Yes.
In this day and age where everything gets filmed and everything goes viral.
Yes.
You never see the fight at Bucky's viral video.
They're so well staffed. Like, I think that's because that goes to the point of what the bathrooms being cleaned and the stuff being organized and so much stuff being there. Like, they have so many people there working and they seem to like their job, too, which is... unique to a lot of these situations.
I mean, they pay well, but this is also, I guess this would be my other, Bucky's isn't touched by private equity.
So that was what could ruin it.
Or publicly traded, or trying to grow from a Wall Street perspective, and it's like, what's the first thing that goes usually? Cut on staff, whatnot. Like, that's the first thing that always goes.
So, like, some of these big brands with these cult followings, like, I buy into it. I mean, I used to get Whataburger all the time when I would be out of town. I like to get fast food. I'm one of those people who gets fast food that you don't have at home. You might as well.
No.
Because if you're going to eat fast food, let's try something else.
I thought that's what everyone does.
I agree. I think what everybody should do. But since I have not had Whataburger, I like White Castle. I had it recently.
You have Crystal right there.
What was it? Passing through Nashville. And
yeah, the one right there off the interstate.
Went to the one, set at the John Prine booth. You know, shout out to the legend John Prine, White Castle Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And John Prine.
Next to Neil Patrick Harris.
I had White Castle breakfast. Now, he really is a Hall of Famer. Like, the boot says he's in the White Castle Hall of Fame.
That's news to me that they have breakfast.
Oh, White Castle breakfast. Oh, Crystal breakfast is great. Like, I love
if it's...
A sunriser?
You have to have the... Certain crystals don't do the fresh eggs.
Well, I did.
But if you have the crystal that will do the cracked eggs made to order,
But, so I haven't done Whataburger.
Things my father taught me.
Cane's has been open in the Memphis city limits for less than a month. I've been to the Raisin Cane's out by Wolf Chase. Talk about amazing service. The staff in there, it looked like they had 50 people working at this Raisin Cane's at Wolf Chase. And it was great service. It tasted like the Raisin Cane's that I fell in love with.
By the way, what's going on with Abner's?
It's dying. It's dead. They missed
and
the opportunity.
Very sad.
I mean,
closed the one in Oxford.
There are two Abner's left.
There were two of them.
Oh, the first one closed a good while back.
They closed the one in Tupelo.
Really?
And
I blame when the tender went to that smaller, like, Zaxby's tender, I was like, this is over.
Well, they got bought, not by private equity, but they got bought, and they missed the opportunity for the chicken finger boom that we are currently still living in. There are two left. There's the one at Crosstown, and then there's one in Brandon, Mississippi, the suburb of Jackson, Mississippi. There's only two Abner's left, so, and who knows how much longer we'll have both of those. But anyway, so I've done the Cane's. IKEA, I'm a big IKEA guy too, even before we started doing bingo there, which we do have bingo at IKEA on January 26th, so you can sign up now.
See, I think this is what I would argue about Bucky's. If you have kids, like, you and I can be entertained.
Oh, my daughter loves Bucky's.
The Saturday,
she has a Bucky football.
The Saturday we have nothing to do,
just drive the Bucky's.
The walkthrough of IKEA can be kind of fun.
Yeah.
Like, I think Bucky's can replace
that.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like, it's a, like, it's, you can, It's especially in this time of year, you could go walk inside.
Yes.
Something to do inside for free. Yeah.
Until you get to the cash register.
So that's interesting. That maybe so. Maybe it will be something we visit. I haven't figured out yet how often. I do feel like maybe you pair it with something else or whatever, but like.
I build the day.
I mean, definitely,
Bucky's.
If you're going to the dog track in West Memphis, you're gonna stop
rest
by.
In peace.
Yeah.
Now,
casino.
If you're gonna, yeah. Now the casino.
Gaming and racing.
All right, NFL Black Friday Monday. All right,
the deals are better on Black Friday.
So the Falcons technically didn't even have the courage to wait for Black Monday. They fired Raheem Morris last night, basically as soon as the 3 o'clock games ended. So this morning we got Kevin Stefanski was fired. Pete Carroll was fired. Jonathan Gannon was fired. I believe we've gotten the news. The Bengals are bringing back
Taylor Stang,
which that was a free spin. They're not going to pay somebody to not coach. And we also
they barely pay guys who are still playing.
Correct. So we also learned that Zach Taylor might also have an additional year on his contract. So once
I've heard his buyout is not small.
Well, once that report came out, I was like, well, he's not gone. So that now means the open jobs are as follows. The Titans, the Giants, the Falcons, the Browns, the Raiders, and the Cardinals.
Mercy to Betsy.
Also, quick shout out to the New York Football Giants. For the second consecutive year, you have screwed up having the number one pick, even to the point where the Raiders lost yesterday. You had the opportunity, if you just lose to the Cowboys, something you make a habit of in games that matter, you still could have the number one pick. Instead, they'll be picking fifth. All right, here's the exercise. George, you ready?
Yep. I think Atlanta, by the way, will take a little bit longer because they also fired Terry.
They fired Fontenot, but it seems like Matt Ryan's going to be the guy.
For both? I thought he was just getting front office.
Sounds like he's going to be the president.
Really?
So that's the other new trend is television media types are now running organizations. So, all right, here we go.
Yeah.
Rank these open jobs.
Mm.
I'll go first.
Are we going worst to best or
all right, let's start with the worst. Are we in agreement the Raiders is the worst spot?
Yes.
Because you don't have a quarterback.
Yes. But they have the first pick.
But the draft?
I don't think it is. I think that's the worst spot.
All right. I'll listen to the Cardinals because
I think with potential to be successful, the Raiders. I think that hurts the Raiders, yeah.
I also think you have to factor in ownership, and the Raiders, they have bad ownership.
That factors
in. And so do the Cardinals.
Correct. So, I mean, for the record, we are talking about some bad jobs here.
That's true.
That's why they're open.
I think that the bottom two have to be Raiders and Cardinals. Do you think that there's a case for the others?
My only thing with all three of the Titans, the Giants, the Falcons, is they all
and
kind
the Browns.
Of... And the, well, not for where I'm going with this.
All right.
I think those three teams already kind of look at their quarterback position and situation as we have a level of stability here. I don't know that Barry and the Haslams are necessarily fully bought in with the Sanders of it all.
I think that's true. I think for sure that
Dart, Ward, and Penix have all, at least to me, shown more than...
Okay, but what do you do with the Penix of it all where the Falcons were clearly better once Cousins started playing? And I'm someone who has stock in Penix.
How much of that was injury with Penix? Because clearly he was playing hurt
how much
before
of
he was pulled
injury
out.
Injury with Penix, how much of it also was the defense got healthier?
That's true.
And you didn't have to do as much on offense. But I do think Pitts, London, Bijan, they all look better when Kirk was in there.
That's true. That's fair.
All right, so...
When was the last time the Raiders had a coach for more than, two seasons?
How long did Gruden last?
Like a year and a half.
Might have been Gruden.
Was it a year and change?
We had COVID happening around there.
I want to say I saw something from either Schefter or Pelissero saying that since, 2021, the Raiders have had six coaches, if you include if you include the interims, because they had...
So Pete Carroll for a year.
Yep.
Pierce was a year plus because he got the interim.
Was Patrick Graham and
Josh McDaniels?
McDaniels got 25 games.
Bisaccia is in there.
Bisaccia got 12 games. He replaced Gruden, who had 21 games. Jack Del Rio is the answer. 48 games.
More than two years.
Just three seasons, huh?
15 through 17.
15, yeah.
Wow.
And, like, even that goes back to the team being in Oakland. So they were not in Las Vegas back then. So they had a different city the last time.
Oakland is 2020, right?
Yes,
I think they opened 2020, but then they did the big opening in the 2021 because they couldn't have fans.
Right.
All right. So then I'm going to say, I think this is the other thing that's interesting.
So Belichick would fit in great at the history of, for the Raiders' history of coaches. They like those celebrity coaches out there.
So this was from Bill Spiros over on the Everything app. Arthur Blank wanted to hire Belichick/Hudson. I love how she's now part of the team.
What?
Belichick Hudson last season, but reportedly was swayed by Kraft and his own front office. The Falcons won 4 straight games to close the season. The NFC South is wide open. The report, I believe this is from Schultz, if the Falcons are interested in Belichick this time, they could have to go through Hudson as well. One longtime UNC official said that Hudson is behind everything Belichick does. I don't think you need a source on that. I think you just have
to. We know.
If you got eyeballs.
Pablo Torre.
You can see that. Like, if you just watch the sidelines. It was just so odd, the UNC official told the Washington Post. And we just don't know what's coming. These two decide what they're going to do, and then they do it. She's a very, very involved in the crafting of Bill's projected image. Everything you see on Instagram, all of that. The football side of Bill and now the public side of Bill have become two different things, and she is in charge of the public side.
Huh.
So, according to Yahoo, though,
I mean, these are a lot of jobs that are open right now that of teams that I think would consider Bill Belichick, but I wonder if the fact that him taking this North Carolina job and shining the spotlight on him, if he was just a little more patient, could he be the – I know he's – You think that there's an agreement amongst teams that he's not going to
get hired. I was going to say, if he was essentially blackballed last year, what was there anything to show this year that would say, you know what, we screwed up?
Like, nothing. Like, I think he did himself no favors, obviously, by going to – it's made him – unless you want headline, but these are NFL teams. Like, there's no reason for them to
– No, that's like the opposite of what they want.
They don't want a distraction, right? So it – because I could see him fitting in as so many of these teams wanting to hire him in a different time.
I think this is the first question. Is the Falcons the best available job?
They probably
have the most talented roster. Did the Giants get a coach?
They do not.
No.
But I don't think the Giants are the best job because you have a lame duck GM.
But at this point, they've saved him twice now, essentially, with Shane.
I mean, I think you have to see how the hire goes. My point being, if it looks like he made the hire, then you could say he's on stable ground. But if it looks like for instance, if the Giants hire Mike McCarthy, I don't think he made the hire. And he's dead man walking.
Right. That's fair.
I think also what we're going to find out is whether or not coaches believe in Dart.
I mean, I think he's shown plenty like this past season to instill a little bit of belief. Between him, you've got Neighbors. There are still some pieces on that defense. I mean, that defensive front is still nasty. But I think right now, if I'm looking at it, I would probably want to take that Falcons job because, like, they are still looking for a true voice of leadership. I mean,
well, I think that part of the Falcons job has to be baked in that is. That division just is so open.
Right, and you still have a ton of talent on that roster between all those guys on offense we just mentioned who had really solid years, London, Bijan, Pitts. Plus, when I say that leadership role, like, we don't know what Matt Ryan is going to be as a front office exec.
No, I mean, to what degree is he going to...
What's his involvement like?
Right,
like,
is he just a buffer between you and the owner? Is he actually running things? Like,
are you able to carve out more of a role for yourself, sort of deal? If that's what you want
to
do,
are we going back to is it quarterbacks running the teams? Because like we did this once upon a time, it didn't work. Like former quarter, like right. Everyone's always looking for the formula.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's a great question. Are we done with, like, after watching last night's game, and shout out to the Memphis Tigers on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Like, the thing I've been watching a lot this season in the NFL is the Mike Tomlin of it. Like, the idea that it seemed like the national media wanted Mike Tomlin out of Pittsburgh. Like, the way that they want Ja Morant out of Memphis. I just always feel like his name is always not, he's associated with these teams you're mentioning.
Yeah.
But, like his time, he's been there too long. It's time for him to change the scenery for Mike Tomlin. They don't appreciate him. It feels like Ja Morant.
I do think you're right, but here's what I think is actually different, and this is what I'm paying attention to.
Yes.
There's no question that heated up this year, and publicly, to the point of, like, even Florio last night was like, I'm watching to see if Mike's going to be on the desk next year.
He's not going to be unemployed for long.
While Florio doesn't really apply here, what has also happened is what we used to see, or what we do see in the NBA more frequently, where the newsbreakers, the opinion makers, they all are repped by the same agencies that rep the coaches, and they're all trying to, like, I'm not even saying that they're in bad faith. Like, I think the agents are trying to force the Steelers job open, because if that job comes open and Tomlin's on the market, well, then Tomlin can reset the market, because wherever Tomlin's going to go, it's going to cost $20 million a year. Because he's got this reputation.
Right.
It did feel like last night, by the Steelers winning, it felt to me like coming into that game, you could envision a scenario where Harbaugh and Tomlin may not have been back. But last night, I felt like at the end of the game, you're like, they're both going to be back.
Especially with the way the game played out.
Yes.
It wasn't as though it was some sort of blowout one way or the other. There was every opportunity for both teams to win that. I mean, obviously, one of the teams, the Steelers, won the game. But there was plenty of opportunity in that game for the Ravens to win it.
Yeah.
They arguably should have won it.
Yeah.
And I don't think losing that sort of fashion, it would have gotten Tomlin fired. Plus, I mean, think about the organization. They don't really fire people.
What I would say, though, Kevin, is the national media has also, on Tomlin, caught up more to how the Pittsburgh fan base feels. Like,
but that can very much change, like, this postseason.
Like, from a Giants fan, I sit there and look at the Steelers and, like, y'all need to shut up.
It's
like, y'all never suck. Every single year matters. And I get it. The standard's the standard. Like, but
I'm just very suspicious now with the Ja Morant, you know, because I compare it to the Ja thing, because, like, there's nobody in Memphis asking Ja to leave, like, wanting Ja to leave, or there wasn't. I mean, there's more now than there's ever been. But, like,
it's still a minority, but yeah.
But, like, the Tomlin thing, it's like, he is great, and he's established himself as being great. Why is there so much conversation about him not? I mean, the team's in the postseason, and, you know, he's leading these Memphis Tigers to these awesome ones. Kenneth Gainwell, my goodness, what was Calvin last night?
Calvin had a big catch on the last drive. Gainwell had a touchdown. Then Gainwell also set up by false starting. He actually made the 3rd and 2, 3rd and 7, and Rodgers had to throw it over the middle to Freiermuth. So that was heads up play by Calvin, or by Kenny.
Kenny also was their leading target guy. I mean, he had like 8 catches last night. Awesome.
Kenny's been fantastic.
So where does he go in fantasy football these days? He's
not high.
Yeah,
is he will he next year?
No,
no.
Well, because I don't even know if he'll be on the Steelers next year.
True.
Like that's the other aspect of this. I do think with Tomlin, I think there was starting to be maybe more frustration from his end, and perhaps looking for an exit, and that's why a lot of these people started talking about it more. But I still think we wound up in a situation where I think if you're making me bet today, Harbaugh's back with the Ravens and Tomlin's back with the Steelers. The big question for me is, like, are we sure Rodgers is done? Because they don't have a simple answer.
No. Unless some of these quarterbacks that are currently in spots end up getting, like, bought out and sent to market, namely like a Kyler, Tua, Kirk.
Yeah.
If those guys start ending up available on the market, you could maybe convince me. But even then, two of those are reclamation projects, and one of those guys is essentially Rodgers 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Have you locked in your Super Bowl pick yet, Jeffrey?
Not even close.
I'm not saying officially with the bookies, but...
No, I mean, this is like the most wide open. I still can't quit the Bills.
It helps that the Chiefs are out, so it helps widen it.
But, well, like, the problem is, I think the Rams are the best NFC team, but what if, like, the Rams have been kind of telling us the last 3 or 4 weeks that they've already played their best football? Like, I don't know. And then the Niners looked terrible on Saturday night, but if they get Trent Williams back, how much better do they look? Like, that's kind of the other aspect of this, but it's like the teams that you feel like you trust the most, they're all going on the road.
Right.
That's not really a great formula in the NFL. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about Ja Morant and the Grizzlies. We'll do that next with CJ Hurt, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. CJ Hurt's a Grind City Media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. Follow him on the Everything app at ConRadicalness. CJ, is our lesson from the Grizzlies this year, don't get excited, because even if you get excited and you're watching Cedric Cowher dominate a game against the Lakers, he's just going to get hurt.
Ah, man. It feels like it, unfortunately, sadly. And again, this is another one of those, this isn't a wear and tear thing. This isn't a what is he doing from a technique standpoint that's lending itself to that part of his body being injured. No, it's just another one of these, like, it happens. I want to call it a freak injury, because these types of injuries happen all the time in basketball. It just feels like every other game for the Grizzlies is something like this, where a player comes down awkwardly or lands on somebody's foot or steps on somebody's foot, or Ja Morant steps on a ball at one point in time. Marcus Smart, a couple years ago, dislocated his finger celebrating making a three by poking himself in the head. It's like, wait, why are these things constantly happening to this franchise, and there's nothing that you can do about it? Honestly, from my vantage point, I don't know what the medical staff can do about it. I don't know what the players can do about it. If there are different types of stretches to do, fine. If there's different sort of strength and conditioning to do, fine. But you tell me what you're supposed to do when you step on a player's foot. Like, there's nothing that you can do in that instance to prevent that type of injury from happening.
No, I mean, I think you're right, right? Ja has stepped on a foot this year and missed time. Yeah. I believe Edie was stepping on a foot and missed time. Cedric has now stepped on a foot and missed time. But, I mean, I think that's kind of the bigger issue that I see, is, like, when these guys that we're mentioning are healthy and playing, you find yourself going, this team's, like, I'm not saying move over Thunder and Spurs, like, there's a new sheriff in town, but, like, you know, there's a conceivable path to where this team's, like, in the top six. But the fact that you have just the amount of injuries, the length of the injuries, the fact that it feels like, you know, you're having to learn guys' numbers and names on almost a regular occurrence when you turn on the game, it's like, I feel like it just kind of starts to weigh on the fan base. And that's, to me, what I think has been the biggest frustrations. Like, last night, they were playing really good basketball in the first half. Cedric gets hurt, and then it's like you could almost predict what was going to happen. And then if you stayed up, you're like spending the last 5 minutes going, why didn't I go to bed?
16-9. 16 points, 9 rebounds, 13 minutes of action.
I think he'd done everything. I think it was like 2 dunks, 2 threes, and then like 2 mid-range. Like, it was like a masterclass of, like, scoring from all 3 levels.
That is just maybe the basketball gods just don't like Memphis for whatever reason. I'm not really sure, because it's that player gets going and the basketball guys look around and say, oh, no, we can't have that. Give them to us. We got to take it. Zach Edey comes back. He's playing really, really well. Basketball guys, no. Give him to us. We can't have that. Ja Morant comes back. We know what Ja is capable of. Like, no. Give that to us as well. I don't know who this feels almost Greek/Roman gods-like. Right, like this feels like the jealous gods have reached down and said, hey, yeah, this is too much. Memphis is too popping, too fun. It's too lit when the Grizzlies are good. We can't be having that, right? Like, it's the Odyssey is coming out this year, and everybody knows the start of the Odyssey is the Trojan War, which pops off basically because a bunch of Greek goddesses get jealous and offer Paris various things. He settles for the most beautiful woman in the world. And then it's just the Greek gods fighting amongst themselves, but using people as ploys and as pawns. And it feels like there's some basketball gods kicking it on whatever the basketball version of Mount Olympus is. They're kicking it up there, and they're just mad at Memphis for whatever reason. I don't know. It's crazy.
No, I mean, like, that's kind of the other thing, because I'm with you. It's like, when everyone tries to do the training staff thing, I'm like, can we find another angle? Like, all these guys have their own
medical. She's like CJ's angle.
Like, medical teams. But, it, like, there is a part of where I wonder, it's like, are they just selecting injury prone guys? Like, you know what I mean? Like, because
but how Edie wasn't that. You know?
I don't know. That's that.
Foot.
That's like, the Edie that's the problem. That. It's like you sit there
that
and you go,
wasn't that?
Yeah,
Jaren wasn't that. Right, like the injuries that have been sustained, like G.G. Jackson wasn't that, Vince Williams Jr. wasn't that, and they got injured last offseason, and doing just pickup stuff, just hey, we're gonna run pickup to get in shape and well stay in shape rather, and they got injured doing that, so it's not Brandon Clark wasn't injury prone when he came in, was he?
No, I mean he'd stayed relatively healthy through college. Now he's been injury prone since getting to the Grizzlies.
I mean, he's been the past, 3 years, he's just been injured. Not even injury prone, he's just been injured. And that's so they're not drafting injury prone guys. The one exception being maybe Cedric Coward, who missed all of last season in college with an injury. But outside of that, I can't think of injury prone dudes they're drafting. It just feels like, again, it's just a bunch of bad luck. A rolled ankle here. A shoulder thing there, a freak offseason accident here. Brandon Clark comes back and looks really, really good. Got Coach Isolo talking about he's more athletic today than he was this time last year. And then he goes down with another knee injury, man. It's frustrating. It sucks and it's frustrating because I don't know what you're supposed to do about it. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I don't know who you're supposed to blame. I know you're upset, and I can understand being upset, and rightfully so. But, like, where do you put that energy towards? I'm not sure where you go.
No, and I actually think what makes it more complicated is how do you go about evaluating the team? Because, you know, we talked about this season coming in with by making the pivot of moving Dez. It wasn't a blow it up, but it was a situation where if you got to a certain place, maybe you make that decision later. And now it's almost like, theoretically, it's like, I think if they could put the guys on the floor, I actually think it would be an encouraging basketball season. But it's like, how can you rightfully evaluate from the front office perspective of what you're watching?
I don't know. That's why they get paid millions of dollars to figure that out. Because I'm with you. I have no earthly clue how you evaluate what this team is, right? Like if you're close, you do one thing. If you're close, you don't make any sort of drastic moves. You decide, okay, we can make some moves along the margins.
Yeah.
But what does close look like? Because close can't be, is it just wins and losses? Because you could argue that Lakers game, they were close, especially considering all the bodies they were down. And you might be willing to say, if you're a general manager, I can't fault one for saying this, hey, when we get healthy, we're not going to be this injured. We've been this way, two seasons, three seasons now. We can't be this injured. The injury luck is going to turn around for us at some point in time, and we'll be right there in the playoffs. Not the play-in, but the playoffs with a chance to make some serious noise and go on a deep run. All we need is the injury luck to sort itself out. But can you be patient enough for that thought process, or does it have to be, okay, we just got to make a big shift, we got to make a big change because it's not working, and injuries are a large part of the reason why it's not working, but like it's just not working. You know, Todd Jerome still hasn't played. The Cavs are struggling this season, I think in part, to not having that player coming off the bench, making plays, facilitating knockdown shots for that team. And we still don't know what he looks like in a Grizzlies uniform. So it's frustrating. And again, I'm not sure who you direct the frustration towards. I'm not sure what the answer is. It's just a bad situation to be in, man.
Yeah.
It's helpless. You feel helpless. You feel hopeless, like a penny with a hole in it.
I mean, the games, they keep happening, right? We got a 4-game homestand about to happen. The Spurs, the Suns, the Thunder, and the Nets coming in here through the end of the weekend.
Hooray!
So, like, I mean, just the games are still happening. 888-HOOP to get your tickets there. But and then right after that, though, they're taking this international trip. Like, who's going to make the trip? Are people jumping on these planes with quasi injuries, hoping that they'll get better while they're in Europe? I mean, the timing is not great.
No, I'm pretty sure Super Grizz will be there. I'm almost certain Super Grizz will make the trip. So
Super Grizz is going.
Super Grizz can rally the troops. But yeah, man, it's a tough stretch because the opponents are good. It's a doubly tough stretch because of all of the injuries that you're dealing with and that you've been dealing with. Feels like right when you get into a rhythm with guys coming back from injury, either they leave or a different player exits within injury, man. And again, it's tough. It's tough, but the games do keep going. Got to win some of these, and it's going to be extra difficult. I don't envy Coach Isolo or those players or the front office, especially not during this stretch right here.
Yeah, I mean, what jerseys are the Germans going to be buying here? There's who's going to be their favorite player? Who's going to be playing?
I mean, I don't want to say who might be playing because, like, we start talking about
this. No, you're afraid of just jinxing it. Yeah, right.
And, well, I'm afraid, again, the basketball guys, wherever Mountain Lippins is for basketball guys, they're going to come down and take that player away.
We don't, yeah, but we don't know how long Coward's going to be out. Of all the deflating injuries that we've seen, like that one, to me,
Edie's last one was a gut punch.
Edie was tough, but it was Edie and Coward together for a minute. It was these are the guys. Like if you're watching a TV show you like, and the main story this season's not very interesting, but there's like the subs, you know, the B storyline going on. Like this season, like, you know, the main stuff wasn't going great for the Grizzlies, but you had these supporting cast, like these new characters have come on board, and they were just so much fun to watch, and it just gave you a reason to go to the games to tune in and check the highlights, all of it. Like, it was very exciting. And Edie went out, but you're like, all right, well, still, like, we still got this other new character who's awesome. He's going to be the next Jordan, right? And then, you know, that's what some people said. And now Coward's out. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, man, I think I'm done speaking about saying Grizzlies players' names out loud. Maybe will help the jinx.
Beetlejuice.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe we get the priest up in Pittsburgh who blessed the end zone. Maybe we get
him.
You talking
about Voldemort?
Is that his name?
No, you're saying names you don't say out loud. Yeah,
but maybe we get him to come down and bless the FedEx form and drop a little holy water, some holy oil in that arena so that the players all of a sudden get better and get blessed with better injury news. I don't know, man. At this point, I'm not sure what you do.
It's just getting old talking about injuries, well, too.
I mean, like, think about this. The only team this year that has missed more games from guys that were projected to play are the Pacers, and that's because of Halliburton.
We all saw how he got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would rather if a player has to get hurt that it happens in the NBA Finals. So if somebody on the Grizzlies gets hurt and it happens in the NBA Finals, I'd be more okay with that than
Yeah, it would suck to have it be Game 7 in the NBA Finals, but that would also mean we got to have a really
seven.
Fun time before that. Yeah.
Exactly. So
I think I would sign up for that.
Halliburton's been going to a lot of wrestling.
A lot of WWE events.
Well, I mean, he doesn't have to go to work. He can hang out now.
He's 100%. He is available. CJ, we appreciate my man.
Appreciate y'all.
That is CJ Hurd of Grind City Media. When we come back, we tell your story next. Right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, boys, for today's Don't Tell These Story, Tell Your Story. One of my all-time least favorite quarterbacks for my team, Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is defending his soon-to-be former squad after he revealed he tore his hamstring before their Week 2 game against the Cowboys, saying there's a great reason the team never listed on the injury report. It's because he never told them. The news broke after Wilson, meeting with reporters after the Giants season ended, divulged he suffered an undisclosed grade 2 hamstring tear, which Pro Football Talk said would lead to an inevitable NFL investigation as the quarterback never received an injury designation. Russell tried to do some damage control, saying that he didn't want to tell anyone because of the circumstances. This is totally Russell not trying to say, like, oh, the reason I got benched is because I tore my hamstring, right? Totally not that.
Not
even a little bit. All right, Kevin, let's do this. Not same time next week. Let's do it at noon next week.
Yeah,
for
new
3 hours.
Next week.
Let's add an extra hour on. We'll do that. Want to thank CJ Hurd for joining the program. If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For George, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. The Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.